Talk Show.
It's the Daily Talk Show, episode 419.
What's happening, guys? Fat Fridays.
I'm excited because we got 3D Dill to organise it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not that we left it the last minute, Dill. We like and we understand that you're a capable young man.
I try my best.
Task focused.
But also, we weren't that organised.
Yeah, we left it the last minute. Yeah. Today, we sent you on a little wild goose chase.
Yes, you did.
And what do you got for us? I'm just really hungry, to be honest.
Well, this is the, I was telling you before, I've overdone the coffee, which I know you don't want to hear.
Oh, broken record. I mean, we're doing it a lot around here. We're overdoing the coffee.
Do you ever feel like you could say something?
About me overdoing the coffee?
No, well, you saw me having the coffee. I'm not blaming you.
Yeah, no, to be honest.
We had two strong lattes
and then,
at AU79 and then I had a big mug.
Isn't it funny what the sort of thinking happens so fast, right? So you walked upstairs with your big coffee mug and I looked over and I couldn't see inside of it, but I had just full thing. I was like, has he got her more coffee? Because I was like, I'm at my limit. I feel a bit anxious. And this guy is just fucking charged up the staircase at a fast pace with a full cup of something. I thought he must be getting water.
Well, yeah, I should have just. The thing is, it's just out of habit.
I made myself feel better by thinking that you were getting water.
No, there was a full mug. I mean, it actually reminded, like, I was actually having a response to it where I was just like a bit out of body.
Yeah.
It reminded me earlier in the week we had someone fucking OD. Is it Canada's OD if they don't die?
They overdosed. Yeah. I don't know if it's the same as drowning. You know, if you've drowned
or you're electrocuted.
You're dead.
Yeah.
It's,
well, we have Dan Smith, a journo. Dan, you're sitting in on the show. Do you know if you OD, does it mean that you die?
I don't believe so. Because you overdose, that's it. Yeah. Because I think you can die from an overdose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's the technical term.
Well, so we had someone screaming.
Oh, it was a spooky moment. Have you guys been thinking about it a lot?
Nah, only when I got home, I went and I spoke to like mum and they asked how my day was and I was just great until
just
lunchtime and then
hands.
It was just depressing. Yeah. Nah, but other than that, I haven't thought about.
You haven't?
Nah.
3D Dill?
I've thought about it, but I've been in situations similar, like I've seen that before to the point that it doesn't affect me anymore.
All right. Oh, right.
The first time I saw something like that, I was... The first time I saw someone on heroin and back home in Toronto, I was like, "That's it." Freaked me right out.
The first puppy you kill, you feel it. The second,
I was thinking about it. I don't know necessarily if I want to get used to it.
No,
but I don't think there's anything to get used to. I think it's a human response to feel something and feel emotional about it.
So there's a woman laying on the ground, unresponsive, and her partner. Screaming on the top of his lungs. While he's screaming, he's also injecting himself with heroin.
He ran off from his wife who was on the ground dying, having an overdose, and hid in this little corridor and started injecting himself, which is just, that is a snapshot of addiction and how it's so fucking gripping on an individual because your wife's dying and you're still thinking that that's the best option in that moment.
But because I was curious about this, whether they would have been weird about emergency services coming, but he was literally saying to the Thai supermarket, he's like, if a fucking ambulance doesn't come here now, I'm fucking coming to get you.
Yeah,
like it was full on.
He's just being erratic. I don't know if there's much truth. He's just flipping out.
I don't know whether there's truth. I know. There might not be fucking truth to any of it, but it's literally what we're saying.
I mean,
right?
What was interesting is everyone was like not taking him serious about that shit. They're just like, it's happening. We're on the phone. One of them handed the phone. The thing is, Dill, I know you say it doesn't make, you know, you don't think much about it. There is a hardness that happens when you are in those environments where you're just taking it on. I mean, what we were thinking is the Ambos and how they handle the situation. It's so fucking amazing what they can do.
Well,
they rock up, the presence, the focus of the moment.
It's like, you know, John, just take the sharp, you know, getting his name, and just take the sharp out of your arm. He's screaming as he's got a needle hanging out of his arm.
Yeah.
The craziness of it is
she's dying, going blue.
Yeah.
And then
They inject her with something, I think.
Yeah, they did a bunch of stuff. And yeah, they did inject her. It like literally counteracts the effects of the heroin.
And she's Nalazone.
Is it?
Yeah. Nalazone's the drug.
And so she sits up and then the craziness of it, she hugs one of the paramedics. The fireys are there. There's, the firefighters are trained in the first response. So they were there.
I've got the resuscitation machines and everything.
So she hugs the paramedic and fist bumps all of the fireys and said, thanks so much. She's like,
what'd she say?
She said, if you see me ever on the street, make sure you give me a big thumbs up.
Yeah.
This is the lady who was, I don't know how far off dying.
Yeah. I mean, if there was no one around to come and try and resuscitate her, I mean, they didn't even resuscitate. They just, I guess, I don't know the technical term, but they didn't have to give her a shock to the heart.
She had a pulse.
She had a pulse. And that's why they
chest
got, it was amazing. Really, he got there and he just like checked her pulse, pumped her chest, like just pushed her sternum. And then he just left it for a moment because he's like, she's alive.
Mm.
And that's when they were calming down old mate.
So now that I think about it, it's got nothing to do with my coffee. they're very, very different.
But the coffee got us to that story pretty fucking quickly.
No, but I was literally like, like the effects of a substance. Yeah. I was like fucking a little bit jittery. Yeah. I'm like, you can see how something like heroin ruins fucking
lives.
But
I mean, things that, so it's like that I've thought about it quite a few times. Moment where I'm meditating, it just was, I couldn't get it out of my head for a moment and then I got it out. But it's, I mean, this is how things, like how does it affect you? You don't have to be sad and moping around. It could just be the thought keeps coming into your head. Are you saying, Dil, it hasn't entered your mind?
No.
That's interesting.
Like, I don't know whether it's I've learned to just shut that kind of stuff out. Like the area that I live in for school isn't a great area. Mm. Like there's drugs and there's gangs and there's violence. And I've seen that before. And the first time I saw it, it scared me. But I feel like it's the same with anything. The more you see it, it just becomes like normal almost.
I mean, believe the paramedics though.
You can't work in a hospital if your everyday response was to be. Yeah. I would not be good.
I just did this with my hands. There's not much you can do.
Yucky sponge, yucky. Anyway, it's been a whirlwind this week. Jeff Jowett, he brought his bloody A game yesterday, didn't he?
And he also spent a good hour with us afterwards.
Mate, just get the boys fired up.
This was giving me a little bit of anxiety because he said, get a pen and paper and write these things down.
Yeah.
I started writing with the pen only to realize I'd run out of ink.
silly fountain pen.
And he kept saying, write this down, Josh, write this down.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't bring myself to say I've run out of ink. And so you'll see an index card with indented text, but there's actually no ink.
You gave it your best shot.
It's amazing that it got any ink on the actual page.
What I love about someone like Jeff is he is questioning your thinking. Mm-hmm. He's challenging it. And so, you know, he called us out on a few things in a loving way.
Yeah.
But it takes someone and there's a lot of things that just sting. It's like
– you've got some crumbs on you.
Oh, thanks, mate. It's like if you had a dint in your car and you know you need to get it fixed and someone kept on – everyone points out your dint.
But we know about the dint.
We know about the dint and we're planning on fixing the dint.
Yeah. I mean there's definitely a lot of lessons there. I want to talk at some point today about monetization.
Okay.
But I'm also hungry as fuck.
Oh yeah, and it's Fat Friday, so let's not be rude.
What have you organized for Fat Friday?
I reckon you should just take a look at that first.
Really?
It says Uber Eats again.
I'm guessing that you didn't get a fucking, you actually went and saved us the $5.
No, I went into the restaurant, had a good solid half an hour conversation with the lady behind the counter. Really? Absolutely lovely.
Uber Eats. Are they giving out just copious amounts of paper bags?
Yeah.
With the 30% that they take from restaurants.
Geez, that's heavy.
I'd be careful with that.
Okay.
There's a lot.
There's lots of...
I hope there's some for Dan as well as a guest. Him laughing. So sorry, Dan.
Oh, jeez, what's that?
Okay, so that is a Platano Macho, which is a fried Mexican plantain, berry garnish, and condensed milk.
Plantain is banana?
Oh, that's like
it's a traditional Mexican dessert.
Okay, no.
Can I smell it though?
Yes,
baby can smell it.
But baby, plantain's basically a banana.
Okay, I got this big one. These are
burrito?
Yeah, these look like a burrito.
It feels very dense.
Very warm.
They should be warm.
Yeah,
they're fresh.
Very warm. Here's another one.
So this, what is this? The my new favorite Mexican.
This
place?
Is your new favorite Mexican.
Oh,
place.
Amazing!
The Happy Mexican.
So this food is all from Kelly from the Happy Mexican. Kelly's the manager at the Happy Mexican.
The swag you would have brought to that joint. Did you tell him where you're from?
Oh, she knew.
She knew.
She knew.
Really? That's and I've never thing. Even, see, this is how awkward I am at restaurants. I was following them from the Daily Talk Show and they was very nice to me and they follow us back and they're like, oh, how are you? And all, like, there's so many ins for me to be like, yeah, but yeah, I'm the guy that follows you and I'm from the podcast.
I get it. You can't assume people know who you are. Yeah. It's a bit.
But Dill does. So what did they say, Dill?
Kelly was like, you guys are from the Daily Show. I said, yeah, the Daily Talk Show. And she said, oh yeah, because she knew us from the Snap printing place just down the road.
What do you mean?
Well, we had gotten product through Snap Printing.
Yeah, but why has she got access to their customer database?
Her. I don't know. They're
sharing database.
Yeah, they're sharing data.
Is this some form of WikiLeaks?
It's amazing. He didn't have to even give over his credit card. They had it already. Yeah, yeah. No, that's great. I mean, local business, supporting local business.
Exactly.
This is fucking awesome. Thanks, Kelly.
So what we've got is two, I'm going to butcher the pronunciation of this stuff because I have a terrible Spanish accent. But we've got chili con carne nachos with cheese, sour cream, guac. There's also
that's what got you.
Yeah.
The guac.
We've got two pollo burritos, which is a slow cooked chicken breast bathed in chili.
I believe it's pronounced pollo.
Pollo. I believe. All right, Josh.
That could be wrong.
Polo. Hosh. Isn't it polo? Chicken, like a polo, like when there's an Italian dish. That's a polo.
You
it's
know,
like chicken.
Paella.
Yeah,
the double L I think is you.
Yeah, they always get me there.
Anyways, there's also two Chilorio burritos, which is pork fried and spicy chilies.
Oh, great. Yeah. Okay, perfect.
Dill, thank you. And
you're
Kelly.
Welcome. Yes. Amazing. Thanks. Thank Kelly.
This is very good. All right. Dan, would you like some nachos? I feel like Dan can smash some nachos on the couch.
I had Mexican last night, so I'm...
Where'd you good? Go?
Good, where'd you go? You.
Still recovering.
Last night being Thursday night, I went to... a Mexican place, a Gringo Vibes in Thornbury / Northwood.
It's called Gringo Vibes.
Yep. Or it's called Gringo Vibes. It's got Gringo
Vibes. I was just thinking you said it's got Gringo Vibes.
It's got Gringo Vibes.
Yeah. What is Gringo? What is Gringo?
Like, Gringo. It's like an American.
It's white. I'm pretty sure it's like white guy or something.
Yeah, so it'd be
like
the, Americans that go down to Mexico, they get called gringos.
Did you ever see the movie Get the Gringo?
Get the Gringo.
Yeah, an American.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson.
Yeah. Yeah.
American.
It's in American?
Yeah.
Okay, American. So we can't be gringos.
No.
Oh, fuck, what are we?
We're gronks.
We're gronks.
All right, great. Right.
I really like the sound of the pork one. So I don't know
you
how
can,
we get
I'll
there.
Have whatever
I don't know how
you
we get there.
Me.
What's that? What does that say, do you think? Chat starts with a CH. Chicken?
If it's a CH, it's the pork.
Oh, fuck okay, yeah.
Pork with fried and spicy chilies.
I'm having
chilies.
Pork tonight anyway, so
okay,
I'll have chicken.
Have, okay, there you go. There's two others.
But Matt Diavella, our mate who is... fucking smashing it on YouTube. He did a video during the week that was caffeine, getting off caffeine.
Well, he's doing his 30-day challenges. Mm. So stopping coffee for 30 days. That's a big, like, we drink a lot. I've never seen a young man drink as much coffee as Dill. Maybe that's where he gets his confidence from.
Yeah. Who's got time to remember anything when you're fucking
but
high
he does.
On coffee?
He drinks a lot of coffee. And so Matt's quit the coffee. And
he only did it for a month.
Yeah. Yeah, which I mean is a fair crack. Like his mate who was in the video did it for, had been drinking coffee for
20 years straight. Yeah. Had and a coffee roasting business.
I mean, that when you, it's when Mason and I went to a beanery. Bean Alliance.
Bean Alliance, yeah.
They do the roasting for a bunch of companies. The Muffin Break, I think, is one of their clients where they roast at scale. It's kind of like a Dunkin' Donut, or you know, it's like of a scale.
Do we
of
have
hundreds.
Dunkin' Donut Australia?
I think there is. Is there not Dunkin' Donut in Australia? Maybe not. I mean, if there's a guy that knows, it should be.
I don't think we do.
I don't think you guys do.
Nah, it's Donut King.
Yeah,
it's the same. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a similar vibe. Anyway. In that, we were filming the owner, Ange, and I said to him, how many coffees are you having a day? He's like, six. It's like, and these are espresso. You know, so that's a lot of caffeine.
Espresso.
But I think he's legit just built up a
tolerance.
Yeah. But you feel kind of drained, don't you?
Oh, like it's only midday. I'm done. No, I literally wrote down non-negotiables, what success looked like for today.
Yeah.
I literally wrote, like, work 3 more hours.
Wow.
Oh, is that from who? Where did that crunch come from?
Yeah, it wasn't from this.
I was going to say, wow, the crunchiness of the burrito is full on. I mean,
and so what are you going to do? Are you saying
no? I'm actually fine because the food is going. I feel like a baby's got an empty tum tum, and so all the coffee's sort of really.
Have you eaten at all today? Anything substantial?
No.
Okay.
No.
How many coffees have you had?
I had two strong and the big drip coffee.
Yeah, that'll do it.
So yeah. Like I don't know what, I've got tingles in my hands. I don't know what that's
from. If you're going to OD on coffee, eat a lot of food and then drink a lot of coffee.
It feels like that's the answer. But 97 was actually walked past me and he pointed to me and said, this is why I don't want to drink coffee.
And pointed at you?
Pointed at me.
That's funny.
Why?
Well, what? I don't want an addiction like you do.
I don't know if it's an addiction.
No, it's an addiction.
I just didn't think about it. No, it's actually just mindless.
Is it? No, it's an addiction.
That's what happens when mindless. You don't even think about it. You just go straight
for it. As a habit.
Yeah.
personally?
It's a negative habit.
Yeah.
There's also the anxiety that comes from it. That, I mean, Mason's not, I don't feel like, I feel like I'm trying to say this politely.
Don't.
Let's go for it.
You outwardly show your anxieties.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about 97.
No, but like for someone, he's a closed book.
Yeah, no, definitely. No, I'm pretty obvious. And but it's easier.
It's a bit of a tick when it's when the coffee comes. It's like, I think it's like any of these things. And I know.
So what do you think comes first? That you think that I'm anxious so that I drink more coffee? Or do you think I'm coffee and then get anxious?
No, I think you just like coffee and you drink it. And then
I only started drinking coffee like 4 years ago.
Mm. Were you anxious before?
But I would just have hot chocolates.
But the anxiety was still there?
Mm. But could you imagine 97, like talking anxiety and coffee, imagine if 97 had coffee and then had to read out an email?
About that, guys, I think we have a professional in the building.
Yeah.
Dan, news reader, you know, you can't stuff your words up. I'm sure you have in the past. It's only human. Absolutely.
What's the biggest fuck up that you've done on air?
It's names. It's usually, it'll be names. Mm-hmm. Especially Australian Open time.
Really difficult.
Yeah.
What's your favorite?
Medvedev is my favorite. Medvedev. Russian, I believe.
And so how it's pronounced is not how it's written sometimes.
Do you write it phonetically 100%? Or what do you?
Yeah, phonetically is the way to go. Yeah. And sometimes like you really need to like as simple as possible is the key. So
and we had Mr. 97 reading out an email the other day and I had flashbacks of grade two. You know, it's like, you've actually got a speaker. It's almost like Siri reading something back to you. No personality, just words coming out, and it sounds like he's recorded each word separately and then just stitched it together. This now being, hey, I am.
So what's the secret to not sounding like a robot?
Well, it's how it's written. So you got to write it. When you're writing scripts for news, you're writing and reading at the same time. So you write a sentence, read it. If it doesn't sound good when you read it, rewrite it again. Mm. So a lot of times, and in radio, there'll be a lot of things that come from other people that you need to read in terms of like our cues and promo the next show or whatever. They will be written by people who don't write to read for a living.
Sure.
So they write it and you'll read it and be like, whoa, this makes no sense. There's three different sentences here that don't connect at all. Mm. And so then you go back to them and go, I'm going to rewrite this because it doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
It looks right.
I think we can't actually give him that excuse because what was written was something by a Walkley award-winning radio journalist.
Okay. Yeah, it was actually correct, like all the grammar and
For Ben, I think the Ben Hodgson one, Ben Fordham thing was okay.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, you're talking about that one.
It was more, I think Jody was the one that he really fucked up.
You butchered that. Yeah. That's the one that I thought we were talking about.
But he still
sounded. I thought Ben Fordham's was actually all right.
He still sounded like a Tamagotchi reading it back.
I had to make sure I got it right. So.
And so what is it, when you're doing a radio news piece, is it like a teleprompter? Is it moving automatically for you?
Yeah. Oh, you move it. Okay. You control it. Mm-hmm. But I guess, the only times you get caught up is if you've put in a script that someone else has written, you haven't had time to, you know, before your bulletin, you haven't had time to read it before you go to air. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that will trick you up because it's not written how in your style. Mm.
In Australia, Qantas, one of the airlines, I mean, it's an international airline, but it's an Australian founded airline. Speaking to our international audience.
I think they know who Qantas is.
Maybe not. Did you know what it stands for?
It was Rain Man.
Yeah, Rain Man brought it to light in that, you know.
In the movie Rain Man?
That hit movie Rain Man. but the point being, yeah, it's Queensland and Northern Territory Air Service, if you wondered. I'm an Australian who only worked out that last year with you guys too. Some people have slipped up and said cuntus.
Oh, yeah.
It's good. Is there specific words that you just trip over, you find you're just like, oh, no, I can't go near that?
No, luckily, touch wood, I haven't had a cuntus moment. but no, I think it's usually it'll be certain words that I just in life have a hard time saying, like jewelry.
Mm. Jewelry
will always trip me up. So if there's a robbery at a jewelry store,
oh no, you don't.
So I'll just say, I don't know. You just find another word for jewelry.
What do you say? Like say a shop that name. Sells
bling,
rings,
chains.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to, you know.
Ring dispenser.
Ring dispenser. Yeah.
Do you get nervous?
That's a euphemism, though. That's a different story.
Do you get nervous?
When you go live, it can be a bit nerve-wracking.
And is all news for the most part? Like, are you doing track?
Most of it's live. Mm-hmm. If you're doing other markets, you'll do recorded.
Yeah.
Or if you're technically doing two bulletins at the same time that are going live, you'll need to do one pre-recorded, one live. It only gets nerve-wracking if things are going wrong within that live 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, there's meant to be a audio that's, you know, you're meant to throw to an audio that doesn't play, and you just have to sort of fly by the seat of your pants. So.
I've always pulled up people for saying schnitzel. It's not a schnitzel.
Schnitzel.
Yeah, it's schnitzel.
Mm.
That's one word that people really, really struggle with.
Really? That's the one you're focusing on?
That's like the easiest word ever.
Yeah, I've just, it's my calling, you know. I'm a...
you care about that thing. I don't know. Yeah. I reckon...
I mean, you care about any mispronunciation.
Yeah, absolutely. But I probably fuck up things a lot. I think Mr. 97 says everything.
Oh, everything. Where'd that come from?
I don't know. I think I say something as well.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Where's that come from?
No idea. I've had it for copped shit for it in primary. It's amazing. High school as well.
So. You can get an enter score of 97. Yeah. You can get an enter score of 97 and still say everything.
Yeah, and I think I say Pacific a little bit as well.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit.
Instead never of specific. Do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's really up
dyslexia and colorblind.
What about
unemployable?
I mean, people getting names wrong. I've actually experienced it firsthand where someone has called Bodhi the wrong name.
Oh, it happens. My son Dan is Bodhi, B-O-D-H-I, like Bodhi. I'd rather them say Bodhi. Mm. They're not looking at it though, because that's how it's spelt. And everyone calls him
Brody.
Yeah, it's just the go-to. I mean, they're registering Bodhi in a split second and just adding the R in. Brody. How's Brody? And then I've had
people. It's always a rapport builder. The reason they're asking is they want to build rapport. The worst thing you can do is punch them in the guts and say, it's Brody, you fucking idiot.
I don't pick it up. I don't pick them up. The funny one is when they've said Brody a bunch of times and then they call him Brody on the third time, like the third interaction. There is someone.
Oh, so they've actually learnt.
Well, they've probably realised and made the connection of, fuck, I was saying Bodhi. Brody. Now it's Bodhi. Brody. Either way.
Yeah, it's something that I think it's better that you don't mention. Mm. Just let it go. Dan, the other day we were talking to 3D Dill. He leaves for Canada to go home at the end of the month. And we're not – are you right there, Dill?
I'm good.
What just happened?
I'm just eating my burrito.
Deep throat the burrito.
Anyway, he's ring dispenser.
He just slams it down hard. Chew, bro.
I'm fine to chew.
That was way too big, wasn't it? Was that the problem?
That was way too big. Look at
it, right? I just took a bite. It was fine. I didn't want him to fall in the
He wasn't expecting to have to give a monologue just after a bite, to be honest, but you threw to
him. I wasn't expecting to give a full speech.
Well, I was actually looking at Dan and then I saw Dill's he looked like he was choking. So I'm glad you're okay.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
But Dill had it on his bucket list to go to a footy game. You've got a podcast that's dedicated to footy chat.
Correct.
What is it called?
Your Call.
Your Call.
Yep.
Now, you obviously know a bit about footy. We're thinking about going to Swans
v Melbourne next Saturday, next Friday night.
Next Friday night,
Okay, so you've never been to a footy game before?
Correct.
Right. And that one, I believe, is at Marvel?
No, that's
at MCG.
Really?
Yeah. We want to get it. That's, I think, this weekend is
Yeah, there's one at Marvel Stadium this weekend.
Yeah, but we want to get to the G because it's the you know.
Yeah,
the
that's my rule. If you go, if it's the first game you're going to, make it the MCG. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be good. I mean, my thing is I always, if I'm taking people who have never been to a game before, mm-hmm. it has to be the MCG, and I feel like it has to be plus like 70,000 people expected.
Yeah,
that won't be the case.
That won't,
because it's Sydney, and then they're not in the finals race anymore, so and people who would have come Melbourne's from Sydney to see kind of shit, won't anymore.
Yeah, would we get a good deal on the ticket price?
There's no,
they're all the
there's
same.
No
same price.
That's annoying.
All the Melbourne supporters will be at Mount Buller as well.
Great, yeah, exactly. Put your feelers out though through this avenue to see if there's anyone with you know, sneaky box pass or sneaky member sticks. Well, because given that there won't be a lot of people there, there'll be people who usually have members passes go, I'll give this one a miss.
Yeah.
You never know.
That's it's what I said.
I mean, Tommy's saying this, but can you believe he had an MCC membership that he gave up. It's pretty extraordinary. I know that you always cry poor and say, no, I couldn't afford it, and then that makes me feel bad.
Yeah, I couldn't afford it. Not all of us are spending so frivolously on subscriptions.
Have you got an MCC membership?
No, and that hurts a little.
Yeah. I feel like it is one of those things. Like
it was a 17-year waiting list.
Yeah. That's like your parents need to put you down when you're born, if you're any chance. A mate of mine is... And so I usually just tack on with him. You can buy a guest pass, like $30, and you get to go into the MCC area.
Maybe I can even ask my brother to come with us on the Friday night because he's got MCC. Both my brothers. And then we can get cheaper tickets through them, and we get into the MCC area, which is just same vibe, out in the stands, but just a bit nicer.
Would we still bring our own food? Because I'm thinking about getting a thermos and putting hot dogs.
Because you're a 90-year-old grandma.
Yeah. No, I think it's the whole experience. Bring some sauce. Yeah.
Sure. I don't know. I mean, I don't ever take food or drink into it. So I'm not sure what the latest rules are on that. Because I remember a few years ago, there was a bit of a crackdown on that. They want you to buy food there. Obviously, they want you to spend as much money as possible. My only concern for you guys, I'm not sure if this is a factor, but the MCC, you actually can't take drinks into the seats.
Alcoholic beverages.
You can't. Yeah. You can take. I'm sure you can take a Sprite or a Coke. But if you want to drink, you have to go to the bar. Which, when you think about it, you might as well just be at the bar down the road.
We'll just go to a bar.
The amount of times I've been got wasted and just watched the footy from the bar at the MCG because you're sort of hearing the eruption. You go to take a piss and you look down. There's just the ground. It's all happening. It's a weird thing. But that's alcohol. That's when you're just into it. Mm. You just want to fucking.
Well, I've retired from the alcohol thing. Because I didn't drink for the most part of my life. And then I just started in the last like few months, started having red wine.
Yeah.
And then fucking Jeff Jowett said, if you drink every night, you probably got a problem.
Mm.
And I did have like I thought it was normal to have like a glass of red wine in the evening.
For who?
For me.
But normal, you stated.
I don't know. I just thought that's like the cutoff. If you have one, I think I read somewhere too that it's like good for your health.
Oh, but you could read every, if you look for that. I mean,
which I do.
Yeah, you're looking for the.
One burrito a week makes you 10% happier.
I'm sure there's probably some study using 10 people.
Yeah. But anyway, so I decided like I don't actually, with all my flaws, I just don't need the alcohol.
Well, I think it is. I mean, it's why I stopped because I was having it every other day, but not even like maybe there was a week off, but then I would have in those moments. And Jeff said, when people are saying, oh, I need a drink. Oh,
that's
like that's when you're masking something.
Mm-hmm.
It's a band-aid for a feeling. But then I found that when I put the band-aid on, had the drink, it actually makes me, I get shittier easier.
Mm.
I can't control my emotions as well as I can being sober. So there's a bunch of benefits, right?
I wonder, like, are there certain alcoholic beverages that you just don't have at the footy? Like, is it just strictly beer, or would it be common to see someone with a red wine or tequila or?
I mean, if you're old as fuck and you might be at the long room drinking a nice glass of red, that makes sense. But around the bull ring and the bars are out in the MCG.
It's Bay
13, around that. I mean, you're just smashing beer. It's kind of the thing to do. But I'm sure there's people drinking, you know, vodka and sodas.
There's all the, they've got the, like, you know, all those RTDs, the Smirnoff cans and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
Generally beer. And both, the MCC you'll have. And they have, I think even in the outer they serve, it's a little plastic cup of red or white wine with a little flip, like top on it. So you just peel the top off it.
Oh, that's like great. It's almost like a plain,
like a juice, like a orange juice.
Funny.
Pull the top off it and have your red. It's weird.
So, but it doesn't sound like this Swan game is the one to go to. Annoyingly.
Who would you see?
Can I refer to the roster?
Well, 3D Deal. 3D Deal wanted to go to Geelong twice.
I wanted to go to Geelong.
To Geelong.
Yes.
To see the games.
When I look at myself at 5 years in the future, I could see myself living in Geelong. Oh, just mate. like how Josh sees himself living in Stanley in Tasmania.
You're going to be ISDN.
Yeah, sure.
Geelong.
I'll have people around me.
See, it's a tough time of year because we're getting to the end, to the pointy end. So, mm-hmm.
So tough time as in harder to get tickets?
No, just fewer games to choose from.
Okay.
Yeah. And especially at the MCG because they start to, we're coming to finals time. So the MCG is going to be prime real estate. So they don't want to have too many games there coming up to the end of the season to make sure the ground is still in good condition.
For what?
For the finals. The final.
Grand final.
Okay, sure. Really? So they're actually, they dial it back so that they can get it all looking good.
Yep.
That's interesting.
If you can get tickets to it, and you should be able to because it's Brisbane, but Richmond-Brisbane on the 25th, that's the last game of the season. That's a Sunday.
We were hoping for an evening. Is that during the day?
That's a 3:20, so it'll go into the night.
It's a good game. That's a good.
That'd be a great game.
Sunday's a good vibe.
Yeah, if we leave and it's dark, I'm cool.
Yeah, definitely.
The game, like the fourth quarter, will be in the dark.
They'll have to turn the lights on.
Yep.
Great.
Yep.
And then we might just usher him across to that
Laurent
establishment on Punt Road.
Which one?
Sure. Yes.
Laurent?
There's a few of them.
No, which one?
Yeah. Is the entertainment? Is there entertainment there?
Yeah, the one with entertainment.
Is it Schnitz and Tits? Is it that one?
No, I don't know if they do that. I'm sure they probably offer that.
I don't know if there's any food.
Schnitz. Yeah, Tommy spends all of his time saying it's not Snitz, it's Schnitz.
Yeah. Like, nah, I'm pretty sure. Aren't they Snitz? Nah, what's their branding? Schnitz, is it? It's SH. Schnitz. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
Okay, well,
let's transition this conversation out of sport into the monetization arena. I just got a message. Jeff Jowett.
He's already onto it.
What I love about Jeff is we have these sort of flurries of conversation and engagement, and then it goes quiet. And then I might message him and then we just jump on. But Jeff sort of comes at it with the energy as he did for a podcast. And so, last night he was messaging, just telling me he's going home, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so we're texting, and then he's texted me this morning. And he's done the intro. I see he's done this a bunch of times. Text message, but I see like this unknown number attached to it as well. So it's like, okay, I'm in a group message here.
I don't do group messages.
No, I know, but I think it does, especially when it's a number you don't know, it causes you to go, what's this about?
Is it a blue, like is it an iMessage or is it a?
Well, no, it just says Jeff and plus 61401, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, clicked on it. Jeff's fucking on the bandwagon.
Oh, really?
Tommy, meet Carlo.
Tommy. Hi, Carlo.
Tommy has a podcast in Melbourne. Carlo has foodforfitness.com.au. Good for you going to Melbourne, he's saying to Carlo. Carlo has the food business that does the pre-prepared meals. A lot of bodybuilders are getting around this. Mm-hmm. A lot of bodybuilders are, you know, taking the cooking out of the equation. Just means that they can hit those micros, and they know exactly what they're having.
More time for lifting.
There's a running joke because when I lived in Bondi.
Who's the running joke with?
Jules Lund.
Okay.
So Jules Lund lived in Bondi. He lives behind me. I was in a nice little one-bedroom apartment, size of a shoebox. He was in a nice, great big house, thanks to SCA. He was on the radio and they'd, you know, funded this house for him to live in. So it was amazing. We spent a lot of time there. And it was a great period where.
Did you organize your house to be close to his as a way of potentially leveraging?
Nah, not at all. Not at all. Like, okay. I knew Jules was living there and I was moving up there, and you're trying to find anywhere to live in Bondi. If you think it's hard to get a place in Melbourne with 20 people going to an inspection, it's triple that in Bondi. It is
crazy.
It's so crazy. And so we got this great place. Awesome little spot for Amy and I. It's like $490 a week. Which for
fucking
a tiny
cheap
one,
for Bondi though.
It was. I think it wouldn't be. It'd be $550, $600 now. Anyway, it was perfect location. And Jules Lund hadn't even started Tribe yet. He was thinking about it. And that's when I lived there. I filmed the first pitch video for investors for the idea of Tribe. And amazing. So we connected heaps and we were spending a lot of time together. I was annoying him. That's exactly what was going on. But he was trying to get fit and he was paying to get these meals delivered, these frozen meals. And I mean, he just always offered one when I went, but it just became this joke that I was just eating these frozen meals nonstop.
Which is something like I can definitely imagine that.
Well, they're handy, mate. I mean, when I'm not knocking back meatballs and mash.
I wish there was something healthy. When I was working at radio, Hamish and Andy had mentioned that they loved the Snickers and Mars bar ice creams.
Oh my God, I ate so many of those in that fridge.
So they had the whole freezer, like a commercial grade freezer. And so you'd be fucking double parked with a couple of Snickers ice creams each afternoon.
That was so dangerous. That probably put on 10, 15 kilos around.
Each person.
I ate so many of those. But these are healthy. Like if you were to stick at just eating these kind of meals, every meal, say 3 meals a day. Say that's breakfast, lunch and dinner. Mm-hmm. Or even just you did your breakfast and you got the consistency. Like this shit works. As Jeff said, it's about, you know, it's the old school Weight Watchers approach, right? It's that, I mean, you've lost a bunch of weight doing it. It's like calories in, calories out.
Rebranded.
What are they? Weight Watchers, yeah.
Yeah, that's like, so their website is www.com.
Far out. I wonder what they paid for that.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
That'd be $100,000. Like how many...
Oh, no, there's it'd be more than that, yeah.
Or every three-letter, two-letter domain is taken.
Can you work out what they paid for W right there?
Chili.
Yeah, great. It's called
is it yum? Mike. Is it yum?
Yeah, it's good.
Okay. Can you look up the WW and see if you can find out the cost of that domain name? It's an i7. But that, yeah, they've been doing a whole... It sounded so weird on the TV because they're like doing ads.
Mm.
And I think it's Sam Armitage maybe.
Oh, yeah.
And she keeps talking about it. Like, oh, yeah, with WW...
I actually think, I know you don't like cooking, you like eating out, you like Uber Eats, you like yummy food.
I'm sort of dialing back the Uber Eats, to be honest.
Yeah, okay. So, but then I think something like these meals, one thing you can't be is that fussy.
Mm.
It's about the goal. It's about seeing them as energy in, energy out. But I think some of the companies are doing them really well. The company that Jules was doing it through, they were kind of yum.
To be honest, I paid a lot of money for... one called Dynamic.
Dynamic.
I think it's actually like an ex-footy player that made them. Annoyingly, this happened twice. You would have like soup satchels. And so you'd put them in the microwave and turn it on. But annoyingly, when you're right, no, 97 has literally walked away from his...
Okay,
we're hearing coughing.
It's Dan, what serious hiccup situation.
Can you give us a news report?
Yeah, thanks, guys. Serious hiccup situation. There was a spit. I just heard a spit.
Was that a vomit?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think we're at that. I don't think we're at DEFCON vomit yet.
Okay. Yeah, it's all happening. I think we should be okay.
Yeah.
But no, the dynamic stuff, the pouches, the problem is when you put it in the microwave, I'd have it upright, turn it on, and when it would unfreeze, the fucking thing would fall over and the soup would go everywhere in the microwave.
Yeah. I wonder if...
What am I doing wrong?
You probably needed to cut it out of its packet, which is... It could just be bad design, right? These companies are all just trying
to work it out.
And
are you okay, 96?
Sometimes they stuff it up.
What was it? What happened?
Chili. It's still in my mouth.
All right. Can you just sniff on my face?
You don't like chili at all?
No, this is... I don't know what that was. It was face real hot.
His face is so red.
So hot.
That's awesome.
That's okay.
Is it Kelly?
You'll be all right.
Was it Kelly? Kelly?
Yeah.
Kelly 100%.
Got it.
Kelly got
you. So the monetization, trying to work out how to make cash from the show.
Spending a lot of time here, guys.
Yeah, a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of Mexican food to pay for.
Something that Jeff Jowett said yesterday off air, which really resonated with you, was you guys aren't grubs. I mean, you could be a grub right now eating this food.
No, I'm fine.
Could get grubby.
It's like, guys, the thing is you're not grubs.
Yeah.
Call up people. Ask them. I was like, well, something about like, yeah, I'm not a fucking grub. Like, we're just trying to like.
Just a couple of blokes, a couple of stragglers, a couple of gronks trying to make a living, trying to do this show and have a bit of fun.
Yeah, not grubs. And so anyway, then he's talking about different ways that we could potentially monetize.
Mm. And it's funny what those simple things like saying you're a grub or you're not a grub, how these little things resonate and why things connect at a certain point in time on your journey. Because someone could say that months ago, and there's nothing profound about it, but you can find, it's not profinity, that's not a word, you can find something profound in a moment just because of where everything is aligned.
Well, he talks about what, process over outcome.
Yeah.
Which I like. But one of the ideas that we had, which I think we were speaking to our mate Rob Ward at Quadlock, who they're spending money all the time on marketing and all that sort of thing. They're the guys behind these phone cases. Fuck, I'm giving him a free ad. It's annoying. we'll send you an invoice, Rob. But they were asking Rob, mate, what do you think the deal is? What should we do? And the initial idea I had, which he didn't like, but I'll bring it up anyway. 365 days a year, we're doing the show. Mm. What about if we charge something really so people charging thousands and thousands of dollars for advertising on podcasting. What about if we made the barrier to entry lower, said $300 an episode, and we try and book 365 days?
Yeah. And you could come up with a million of these ideas, right? And all the advice, Jeff, Craig Harper, all these people who are doing it have created something amazing.
You got to make your first buck.
You got to crawl before you walk.
Yeah.
You got to walk before you run.
Pete Williams in the book.
Or if you deal, just start running 200Ks.
Yeah.
And just how's that going?
Good. I'm going to take the day off today and rest my knees.
Thanks for the update. Really? Back to what you're saying. No, I appreciate it. I just was trying to get Josh back on track because very much diverted.
Pete Williams in the book Cadence, I think he talks about the you got to make your first $100 before you make your first $1,000, before you make your first $10,000, before $1,000,000. Mm. And everyone's like, I want to make my $10,000 when in reality we have made a total of $0 on this podcast.
Yeah. Did we pay for this food deal?
We did indeed.
We did, he said.
Oh, yeah, I heard didn't.
Yeah, no, we did.
I would have been pissed if you took it off them for free, to be honest.
A new business.
Support local business. Get behind people.
I mean, so what's the floor, 90 Sevs, as a producer, what do you think the floor is of charging a lower amount per episode?
I guess.
Keeping in mind this is your salary. Like, we need to work out how to pay you.
Yeah. No, well, no, I think it does come back to the whole idea of crawling before you walk, yeah? Mm-hmm. And I think you have to do it, but you do risk selling yourself in too low and creating that sort of idea that I mean, you got to start somewhere.
We're just a couple of whores that would do anything.
Yeah, which, a little bit.
If the shoe fits.
Slipping in.
Yeah.
If the shoe pays $300, we will mention them on the show.
Yeah, so I guess you sort of like risk that a little bit, and
I think I know what you're saying, but I think also this is what Jeff as a business now doing is challenging people's thinking. So if that is your thinking, what's the opposite thinking? Why are you looking at what you're doing like that? You start somewhere. Where it's about how do we keep this great thing that we've got going? How do you keep that? Keep the shop open.
Well, we feel comfortable charging a decent chunk of money to do video production. Mm. And that's because we've been doing it for 15 years.
Yeah.
The difference is, I guess, that this is a little uncharted territory. So then all of a sudden we say, okay, well, if we're getting to closer to what we love and we can do that, then if we can afford to charge less because it's actually moot, like we're still making some money off it.
Yeah. I mean, what was it for you when you were 15, fleecing people for money to make videos. But I mean, you didn't have any experience. You're starting out. What was it for you? Like, I remember my first personal training client. My heart was thumping. Got $30 for the hour. I thought it was amazing. And I had to start there. I said, yeah, most of the business was cash. Yeah. You know, you make it. It was great. I always had cash in my pocket. But I just remember that time. And you got to, it's the starting somewhere because it informs those next decisions. Mm. And I think to your point, Mason, you're like, start small. Mm. Or how do you go up from that? Or, you know, that's how you're seen.
Yeah.
What's the alternative? Starting massive, uber high.
Or right. I retract what I said. It's $3,000 an ep.
Sure.
All right. Can you go sell it? It's a little bit hard.
Yeah.
But this,
yeah.
is the, this is where you're letting people in on just that initial thinking.
Mm.
Because if it's that today, it doesn't have to be that tomorrow.
But also, I guess we need to flip it too. And it's like, what is the value that we're giving them?
Shit.
Yeah, we get over 30,000 downloads a month.
Mm.
That's good.
Mm.
And so then if we think about that, it's like, okay, well, and we're growing. We grew, like we grew fucking 20% last month.
Yeah.
And so if we think about the growth every single month, I feel like part of it is if we can get people, I mean, is longer term the answer? Is it like, hey, we want to get Nando's to sponsor us for 6 months and they give us X amount and it covers 97's wage and fucking our lease or?
Mm. I mean, there's multiple ways of skinning a cat.
Mm.
Where did that saying come from? Who's skinning cats?
Please,
you know what I mean?
Dan, what as an external person, what do you think about the whole monetization?
Well, it shouldn't be any different to radio.
Mm-hmm.
What are your ratings? Your ratings dictate how much you charge advertisers to be mentioned on your show,
yeah,
or in conjunction with your show.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're talking 30,000 downloads a month, that's your ratings.
Yeah.
So you just figure out what I don't know. It's kind of, I guess it's hard to figure out what dollar amount that is for, you know, a sponsor to jump on board when those are your ratings. But then, like you said, the next month, if they go up 10%, then your rate goes up 10%. Yeah. That's how it works. Yeah, if they go down, then you can't charge the client the same amount of money the next month if you're not getting as much people listening and hearing their ads. So I guess, the literally $64 million question is, do you charge $64 million for it? Or how much do you, what money, what amount are you going to, do you put on it? And you can, you can come up with five sponsorship packages.
Mm.
One's worth $100. The number six is worth $600.
Yeah.
And in the middle, and whatever, they've got a, the one that costs $100, you mention them once during the show.
Yeah.
Every day. The you do during the week, you'll post ad and you're sponsored by Nando's, whatever.
So what's our pushback? So part of my pushback is that we've set up this, but because we do have real expenses, right? So it's the lease and all that sort of thing.
What do you think of the office, Dan?
Do you like it?
Yeah. Yep. Money well spent.
Thank you.
You got to make money to make money. You spend money to make money.
Exactly. So now we just need to work out how to do the latter. But the but I guess part of it is when we've we have positioned ourselves as a premium product based on we haven't necessarily gone el cheapo with certain things.
Mm.
So then all of a sudden it's like, oh wow, if we were to get $300 an episode, just a random amount, it would take 2 weeks for us to pay off just what we spent in the microphone arms.
I reckon we would have had to spend $300 just to replace this little thing that you were so worried about having lost.
Can you understand why I was worried? It's just so easy to lose.
Yeah, but we could have had it 3D printed.
It's a little cap. Anyway, so yeah, I think it's interesting. So then it's like, okay, so we've invested our own money into it and we've been able to do it for 18 months without making a cent. And then I guess it's just if we're thinking about we want to do it for 10 years, all of a sudden, because I guess Jeff was talking about his horses. He loves his horses. He was talking about that's his hobby.
Mm.
Feels like this isn't just a hobby for us. This is, we want this to be a living and breathing business that can support us. It can support our team. It can pay for everything.
I think
it can create great. And also we can reinvest into creating better content.
I think you can confuse the hobby thing with it being the thing, but if you don't truly want it to be the thing that you make your money from, it's going to probably just result as a hobby. If you're just internally not thinking, you've got to be committed to anything you do, you got to be committed to putting everything into it, right? And that's what we do for this show. I see that the money thing is funded to have fun, to continue to have fun, to continue to do what we do. You could change everything, but that's not what you want to do. I think we've built a show where we do what we want to do, and that's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
And it's something I even thought about that before this podcast, about years and years and years ago, about what I would love to do every day when I wake up, and it's pretty close to this.
I guess that's part of it. The more you move away from the shit you actually want to do, the more you have to charge, because it's just based on it's got to be worth it.
I think we take a massive risk doing this, and I don't think sometimes – we were talking about delusion yesterday with Jeff. Maybe that was with Sam Kavanagh early in the week, but there's a necessity of delusion in the early stages, because other people probably don't think you can fucking do it. But if you are delusional enough to think you can do it, there's not much difference between the people who do it and actually make a success of it and what they're thinking in the early days and the person that is over here.
And also if you're doing something different as well, like where the we can't really look to anyone else and say, what should we do?
Mm.
Because what we've built so far, we've ignored fucking heaps of advice. We're creating our own path. So it would be weird to do that, to be like, oh, like we're going on our own journey, and then to be like, okay, now how do we make money? Because it's not going to be aligned.
Mum's confused.
Yeah, definitely.
Mr. 97's mum's confused. 3D Deal's mum, very confused.
Very confused.
Yeah.
Josh, your mum?
Yeah, confused.
Yeah,
confused. Everyone's pretty confused.
But I think, imagine all the great things in this world that have been created, the confusion around them. A lot of these things that have worked don't make sense for most people.
Not comparing what we've done to going to the moon or anything like that. But
definitely not. Definitely not.
However, I'm Neil Armstrong.
And your that sedentary lifestyle.
In your astronauts are super fit. What the fuck are you talking
about? Well, they don't have much to do in there when they're in the when they're on the journey. Before they're gonna be
their
real,
heart
real
rate
fit.
Lift off. They're like,
yeah, I mean, you just proved the point
something.
Why you should 80. Never
80 is high. 80.
No, be lower.
Their
lower.
Heart rate taken off.
Yeah, what do you think it would be?
High.
It's
high. Higher.
100. It'd be in like
Google
130 or
what, because they're
like,
nervous?
Oh, 100%.
No, but think of the force of you going up. The gravity's
pushing
you down.
Your heart
has to work
harder
to move blood throughout your body.
See, Tommy.
So what happens when you finish?
But hang on. We're confusing a few things. I thought you were just talking about astronauts needing to have a low resting heart rate. Because you're the fitter you are, the lower your resting heart rate is. So I thought you were referring to astronauts have low resting heart rates.
They do.
So never compare yourself to an athlete, because your fucking heart rate is probably 120 right now with the coffee you've been drinking.
Definitely, with the coffee, definitely. My eyes are twitching. But I believe that when they were going up, someone like us, I'm sure I'd be about 180, just fucking getting a bit buzzy.
Neil Armstrong, when he was piloting the lander to touch down on the moon, his heart rate was 150.
See, that's full on. But what about on the way
launch,
up?
Launch. Give me a second.
Amazing they have these facts to be able to pull up.
He's wearing
it's
a garment.
It's so cool.
Right? Do you reckon he added it on Space Strava?
Buzz Aldrin?
Buzz Aldrin, yeah.
He punched a guy in the head. Did you hear about this?
Recently.
Some guy that was denying the moon landing. Maybe it was Neil or Buzz. One of them just fucking cracked the guy.
Oh, great.
Don't be an arsehole moon landing denier. I mean, I've said it before, but it seems to have happened. I was questioning it.
I mean, why would he throw a punch if it didn't happen?
Yeah,
unless
true.
He didn't want it to get out.
True, true.
Any details, nice test before we go?
Nah, I can't find on the actual launch.
That's Dan, right. Did you hear this?
I saw the Apollo 11 doco recently. And yeah, in it they were saying, because it's recorded, and they were saying when they were on their way, I think Neil had the highest and it was something like
105. Okay.
The other guys had something like 90s. So I think because they were just super fit and... And I guess for them, it was just they'd done the training. It was not as stressful as it would be for you and I jumping in a rocket. So yeah.
Crazy they had a lower resting heart rate than the day Mason went on his first date.
Yeah. It says 110 here. So
yeah.
You're at 120.
Sure. Yeah. Should do all the breathing techniques and all that sort of thing. Anyway.
Did the eagle land that night?
Absolutely. Did the eagle land?
Definitely not.
No. Have you seen one of the those ship landings? Down into the water. Splash landing. Ejected out.
It was the Challenger. Wasn't the Challenger the one that blew up?
It's that. Never been seen again on the dating scene. Anyhow, if you want to support us,
maybe you're a fucking marketing director, got a few extra fucking bit of dosh to spend.
Support the boys, funding the fun.
But we'll also like push your product and we'll be very effective. The Gronks tend to spend, I guess, maybe.
Mate, Gronk spend. It's a trait of a Gronk.
Yeah, I think so.
Spend.
A bit frivolous. Gronks buy dumb shit. You know what I mean? And so...
To be honest, I have to get back to Craig Harper. You messaged me last night. One sentence. What is a Gronk? ?
Really? It's taking him that long.
It's catching on, guys. Craig, you're a Gronk for sending it. You're a Gronk.
It's a Daily Talk Show. Hi at thedailytalkshow.com if you want to send us an email. Feel free to... screen grab if you're listening to the show. Extra points if you screen grab your heart rate. If you're on a run right now and you're listening to the show, take a screen grab.
You have to have a watch or something. Yeah. Like I don't have the technology.
Something to measure your heart rate.
So what is that?
A Fitbit, a Garmin, a monitor, and an Apple Watch.
We don't speak
Garmin.
Of Fitbit around here, mate.
Oh yeah, you don't know. My brother and I had a falling out about Fitbit stock.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's unfortunate.
Hey, his brother lost.
Yeah.
Fitbit stock.
I mean, Fitbit stock is fucked. Yeah,
yeah, it is.
But I said it years ago, and anyway, long story. It's a daily talk show. We'll see you tomorrow, guys.
See
Weekend
guys.
Banter.